Now a time to share Brenda's life in words, her obituary, which is found in the back of your bulletins. I share these words with you. Brenda Mae Schmitzer passed away peacefully in her Corvallis home on March 20th, 2019. Born in Oaktown, Indiana, Brenda graduated from North Knox High School in nearby Bicknell, Indiana. Following high school graduation, Brenda moved to West Lafayette, Indiana, where she worked a variety of jobs over the course of several years, including secretary for the Northwest Methodist Conference office, office supervisor at Purdue University, and airlines reservation agent for Irving's Travel. While in West Lafayette, she met her future husband and lifelong partner, Wilson Ed Schmitzer. Brenda and Ed married February 22, 1969, and later moved to Corvallis in 1971 when Ed accepted a faculty position at Oregon State University. While in Corvallis, Brenda worked as an instructional media aide at Crescent Valley High School, daycare teacher at Zion Lutheran School, and librarian assistant at Shetland Middle and Corvallis High Schools. Following her retirement from the Corvallis School District in 1993, Brenda turned her full-time attention to buying and selling antiques. Together, Brenda and Ed ran their antique business, Barton DeLoach Antiques, out of a shop adjacent to their Corvallis home. Brenda loved few things more than attending antique shows and shopping local antique stores to buy items for the home and shop. Customers who visited Barton DeLoach Antiques were greeted by Brenda's jovial yet matter-of-fact personality and came to expect entertaining conversation when she was around. Competing with her love for antiques and shopping was Brenda's passion for a beautiful landscape. The Schmitzer's Corvallis home was something you'd expect to see in Sunset Magazine, meticulously maintained, with a wide range of blooming shrubs, plants, and flowers. Brenda was constantly experimenting with new varieties and arranging, then rearranging plantings to suit her vision of the perfect English garden. She took great pride in and very much enjoyed sharing the beautiful backyard garden, water fountains, and beloved antique shop with friends and visitors. Brenda had a strong faith in God and for many years was a devoted member of Zion Lutheran Church. Brenda and Ed served as youth group directors at Zion throughout their daughters, Amy and Angie's, middle and high school years. As Brenda's health and that of Ed's began to wane, visits from her beloved daughters, and particularly her granddaughters, brought her tremendous comfort and joy in the last few years. Brenda was preceded in death by her husband, Wilson Edward Ed Schmitzer, and parents, Melbourne A. Rigsby and Mervyn E. Holcomb. She is survived by sisters Jean Phyllis Stevens of Evansville, Indiana, and Linda Ann Jackson of Olympia, Washington, daughters Amy Jo Grizel of Ephrata, Washington, and Angie D. Schmitzer of Portland, Oregon, sons-in-law Jeff Grizel and Scott Raditich, and granddaughters Campbell and Harper Grizel. Thank you for attending this memorial service to celebrate Brenda's life. And at this time, I invite forward Jeff Grizel, one of those son-in-laws who has some words to share with us today. Jeff?
Thanks, Pastor Lucky. So anyone who ever met Brenda Schmitzer remembered her. She left an impression on just about everyone she came in contact with, even those with whom she had only casual interaction, people who had only met her once or twice, usually had some distinct memory of Brenda. Her personality was just that unique. From waiters and waitresses, to doctors and dentists, to business owners and customers of Barton DeLoach Antiques, everyone remembered this woman with the colorful disposition. If I asked people who had crossed paths with Brenda over the years to describe her in one word, I'm guessing these are some of the adjectives they would use. Chatty, direct, funny, sassy, stubborn, entertaining, bold, quirky, strong-willed, confident, and finally, original. There's no doubt if Brenda heard these descriptors, she would not only agree with them, she would take great pride in each and every one. I can just imagine me reading that list of words to her as she sat at her dining room table, and when I finished, that two-note cackle of a laugh would burst from her mouth, and she would say, "Yep, that's me." She's one of only a few people I've known who truly love who they were and wouldn't change a thing about themselves even if they could. She was comfortable in her skin. I first met Brenda some 28 years ago when Amy and I began dating in the summer of 1991. Almost immediately, I recognized she was somewhat of a force to be reckoned with. It was readily apparent she was accustomed to calling the shots in the Smisher household, while I was used to an independent lifestyle with my nearest parental oversight some 3,500 miles away on the East Coast. You can probably see where this is going. So there we were, a strong, confident, and somewhat controlling mother, and a similarly uncompromising, autonomous boyfriend with Amy stuck in the middle. It made for some interesting times in those early years. Like the time when Brenda convinced Ed to get up early one Saturday morning for a surprise 8 a.m. visit to Amy's dorm room at the U of O. Guess who happened to be there? Girls, don't do that. Or the time when, a mere month before our wedding, Brenda insisted on accompanying Amy and I on a weekend trip to the Skagit Valley to search for our first home. Those were fun times. But as Brenda and I aged, we both mellowed. She eventually accepted that Amy and I had our own life to live. And I understood that having a mother-in-law sometimes, and oftentimes in Brenda's case, required some compromise. I learned a lot from her, and I just hope maybe she learned a little bit from me. But back to Brenda's colorful personality. What made her so memorable lay in the things that she said, the clothes that she wore, and the home, garden, and antique shop that she kept. I want to take a moment to unpack each of those things and share some of my own memories of Brenda that I'm sure each of you can relate to. First, the things she said. We all knew Brenda as someone who would say what was on her mind. Rarely did she hold back. She was direct and unfiltered. And as a result, what came out of her mouth was oftentimes very funny. There was a time when my mother was visiting from the East Coast and we were in a pizza restaurant in Portland with Ed, Brenda, Scott, and Angie. And Scott and Angie conveniently forgot their wallet. So when it came time to pay the bill and Brenda realized she was stuck with paying the full amount due to Scott and Angie's forgetfulness, she raised her glass of beer and said in a loud voice that carried throughout much of the restaurant, "I want to make a toast to the biggest cheapskates in the world." My mother still cracks up when she recounts that story. Or the time when we had taken Ed's sailboat out onto Bellingham Bay and were returning to the marina to dock it. It was a very busy day at the marina, and Ed had positioned Brenda to accept one of the bow lines and wrap it around a cleat that was attached to the dock in order to arrest the forward motion of the boat. Well, when it came time to execute, Brenda apparently forgot her role. And as Ed urged her to wrap the line around the cleat, she panicked and yelled very loudly, "I don't bleeping know what to do." All the people on nearby boats turned to see where the expletive came from, and we just smiled and waved. Ordering a meal at a restaurant was always an adventure with Brenda. There were sure to be lots of questions about the portion size, how spicy various dishes were, what the waiter or the waitress liked, and on and on. When ordering beer, she would invariably tell the waiter, "Fill it to the top, no foam." Brenda always wanted to get her money's worth. For those of us in the family, Brenda had several signature lines. When telling us about something that she and Ed had just purchased for the house, such as a new piece of furniture or an appliance, she would often end her description with, "It was very expensive." When sharing a story with her about someone who did something silly or used questionable judgment, she would always respond with, "Well, that's ridiculous." While the things that Brenda said were often humorous, just as entertaining were the clothes that she wore. She had a definite style and fashion about her. Her clothes were usually bold, colorful, and at least one size too small. Leopard or other animal prints had a prominent place in her wardrobe, and faux fur was a common element when the event she was attending called for fancier attire. She loved shopping at Forever 21, the store name reflecting her self-image, but she was equally at home shopping the secondhand clothing stores where she could spend hours browsing the racks. Brenda definitely did not subscribe to the form follows function philosophy when it came to fashion. She chose her clothes based strictly on how they looked and not how they felt. Her attire often turned heads when we were out in public, since it's not common to see a 70-plus-year-old dressed like a 20-something-year-old headed for a cocktail party. But Brenda loved making a statement, and she appreciated the smiles and compliments that she would often get. But just as she made a statement through her fashion, she also enjoyed making a statement through her home, her garden, and her antique shop. Brenda took great pride in the 33rd Street home and the many antiques and pieces of art it contained. She definitely had a taste for the finer things in life, quite possibly because both she and Ed came from relatively meager beginnings back in the Midwest, and Ed's success as an OSU faculty member gave them the financial means to splurge a bit in their later years. I remember a time when Amy and I were with Ed and Brenda in Anacortes, Washington, and we were in a tavern called the Brown Lantern. Behind the bar hung a beautiful painting. It depicted the back of a woman lying nude on her side atop a bed. Brenda immediately fell in love with it and asked the tavern owner if she could buy it. After being told it wasn't for sale, she just went out and tracked down the artist who happened to live locally and hired him to reproduce the painting for her. It's just another example of Brenda's persistence and determination. When she wanted something, little could stop her from getting it. There's so much about Brenda that we'll miss. Her laugh, her one-liners, her smile, and that little twinkle in her eye that just sometimes showed through when she was up to something. Because she was so unique and because she was so colorful, she won't soon be forgotten. And after all, how could we forget Brenda when there's so much of her that carries on in Amy and Angie? Brenda, Mom, Nana, we love you and miss you, but promise to always remember our friend and our matriarch.